Hello, and welcome to another edition of Nintendo Pirate Radio. This is your host.
Hello.
This is your host, Stan Ferguson, and with me, as always, is the most excellent Carl Castaneda.
The most excellent. And you can pronounce my name. How fantastic.
Oh.
This puts you one rank above Evan.
Absolutely. And you know what? It matters when pronouncing your name.
It does.
As opposed to pronouncing Oregon or whatever the hell he calls it.
Whatever. Whatever state, whatever nowhere place he comes from.
It doesn't matter. You're going to just toss it in there anyway.
Whatever. I'm just going to toss it into the ocean.
All right, my friends. Today we have an extra special show. And
extra special.
We are a little late on this one, I must confess. So we do need to reference a couple things. First thing is, Evan, I'm happy to be the sports editor. I love these games. That is why I'm here. I'm glad there's a Madden every year and that I don't have to wait every 4 or 5 years like Super Smash Brothers. You guys can take those games every 5 years. I'll take mine every damn year.
So shove that up your ass, Mr. I Hate Twilight Princess.
And secondly, Carl and I received a very nice email regarding our last Pirate Radio Nintendo or... Yeah.
Nintendo Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio. Yeah. I'll never get this down.
We'll never get it right, ever.
And, well, I got it right the first time, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But we did receive a very nice email talking about how serious we have we were, and I really want to apologize from the bottom of my heart to that guy that thought we were trying to be serious.
Because we're not. We're just we got lucky. It was all Johnny.
Exactly. You know, he really owned that show and took care of it and said all those things that we didn't know a damn thing about.
Yeah, I was making it up as I go along. I mean, I've said in various podcasts, I don't really work anymore. all of my appearances, writing, it's all handed down to someone else. Someone who doesn't have a salary. I think there's one of them. What's his name? His last name is Birchfield. I don't know, some guy.
I don't know. Probably one of the new ones.
Probably the newbie.
But. I do want to ask you, Carl, did you miss me?
You know, I got to say I did. Because the whole time we were doing the last week's podcast, Evan kept telling me, oh, you're no John Lindemann. So, you know, hey, it's not my fault he's got like 10,000 years on me.
Yeah, he probably has a little experience, but you know what? A
little bit.
We're cooler.
Yeah, damn it.
Absolutely. That's why we're pirates. Pirates,
exactly.
Man. Pirates.
Exactly.
Anyway, so our show today, we're going to be focusing a lot on the presentation of video games from sort of an artistic standpoint. We're going to look at voice acting. We're going to look at animations. And we're going to talk about a little bit how the art is presented and how this all flows together. And... can work to either make a great cohesive product or something that looks really silly and ridiculous.
Yeah, and all that good
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely, and if anyone's ever read my reviews, you know I love to dwell on the silly and the ridiculous and point that out mercilessly.
Of course.
Hey, that's what you get when you play games like Greg Hastings, right?
Gotta love that paintball.
Got to. All right.
Gotta.
So... tell me, before I go into my little spiel, what are your feelings on the state of voice acting today?
I think that with a few rare exceptions, it's performed by actors with the relative quality of special ed kindergartners.
You know,
and I say that with the utmost amount of respect for what they do
and affection.
And affection, all that good stuff.
I imagine it's got to be hard doing voice work for, you know, character models that at best can animate emotions, sort of.
Yeah. I say they've most characters in video games look like they've got a huge amount of Botox injected into their face.
Yes,
and really can't move it too much.
I think the main problem with voice acting also is who directs these guys? Are they allowed just free reign like in George Lucas movies?
Well, maybe we should go to Lucas himself and ask him what his technique is and how it's been applied by so many game directors. I assume they go in there and they're given their lines before him, of course, and I'm sure there's some sort of producer or director there who helps them out with their lines, but I sincerely doubt if they go through the same process as, you know, one might go through for a CGI feature.
Right, because the quality in these voice acting, some of them will play dual roles, and in this case, mm-hmm. I will bring up Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes,
mm-hmm.
because Cam Clark, who's probably one of the more popular voice actors out there, doesn't even try. And here I am playing through this game supposing to believe that Solid Snake can't tell the difference between English accented but nasally Liquid Snake and American accented but equally nasally Master.
Well, he is the most, you know, superior government agent in the world, so we can't expect too much of him.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, he's probably a better man than I am, assuming he was real, and I could tell, you know. And I think that was the problem with the game, is like, here's something that they want to pull the rug out from under you, but you're just waiting for it to happen because you know what the situation is.
Well, I think, you know, I think David Hayter has more knows more about what's going on than Solid Snake does.
David Hayter.
For those of you who don't know, David Hayter is the voice actor who plays Solid Snake for the U.S. titles.
Oh, David Hayter is... I got to tell you, I love him in the game because he's just...
Yeah.
He doesn't really look like he's actually trying to act. And my apologies to David Hayter if you actually are trying to act. But
we didn't know.
But that voice is totally hilarious.
Very exaggerated.
You know? And every single line, who writes the scripts for these people? Because they're equally bad. And every other line in Metal Gear Solid 1, not so much obviously in the second and third one, but everything is in the battlefield. He could be telling the most pointless anecdote, you know, maybe about brushing teeth in the battlefield. We don't brush our teeth. We take pine cones and scrub our mouth. You know, something stupid like that.
Right.
You know, which no one really cared. But everything has to relate to how things are done in the battlefield. I suppose it's because
right.
he's the consummate warrior. But
well, you know, he is the Omega Man.
Apparently, but he can't tell the difference between an English-accented guy and a British-accented guy when it's the same.
That's too much to ask.
Right.
Perhaps, much like his actions in Metal Gear Acid, he just didn't have the right card.
Well, at least in Metal Gear Acid, you could make up the voices that you wanted, since it had no voice acting whatsoever.
Oh, I never played it. I wouldn't have known.
I didn't play it either, but I read that, you know, it was no voice acting. It was all done by text.
No. That happens. As it, you know, it's a prevalent quality in Nintendo games to use text.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice? Well,
no, I actually thought in Zelda that they were actually saying those words that was written on my screen.
But just really, really quietly.
And grunting. I thought it was a different language. Mm-hmm. I don't know Japanese. How am I supposed to know that?
They speak a lot through their hands.
And their eyes.
In Japan. And their eyes.
Absolutely.
Very subtle people.
You always know what they're saying regardless of what the words are coming out of their mouths.
Right.
But that, I think a lot of the problem with voice acting is, like you say, probably not a lot of direction going on there, but also these terrible, terrible scripts in these games. I mean, the stories are so ridiculously over the top and illogical in any fashion. You know,
right.
You could always say, well, it's just a game. Yeah, but, you know, there's the reality of the story and then there's the reality of the game. If you're going to make the game completely unbelievable, then make something like Super Mario Brothers, where it doesn't even matter. It's just there because
right.
it's there.
No, I agree.
You know, no one takes the story of those seriously. But
if there even is one.
You know what I have a big problem with?
Hmm.
Swords versus guns. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. I do not like swords versus guns. The guy with the gun has the advantage over the guy with the sword.
Unless he is a master swordsman, in which case he probably has some sort of magical artifact / ability that would make him immune to bullets.
Or can chop them up somehow, or deflect them with his incredibly powerful...
Like Gray Ninja. or Gray Fox, whichever one it is.
Yeah.
Is it Gray Ninja or Gray Fox?
Gray Fox.
Gray Fox,
Cyber Ninja.
There we go.
Get your Metal Gear right, man. I'm a fanboy here.
Whatever.
No.
Freaking Kojima. What's up with that guy?
I don't know, but I love his games. As ridiculous and B-grade as the stories are, they sure are epically stupid. But the gameplay is great. Oh my god, I love the gameplay.
Which is weird because it's usually the other way around, the way people describe it.
Oh, well, I'm pissing off a lot of people by saying that. The stories are dumb. I'm sorry. There's a guy who uses bees as grenades.
Right.
Please. But
you know, it's the old, you know, Neon Genesis anime combined with a Tom Clancy novel, and I think you get something that sort of resembles Metal Gear.
Yes. I can't enjoy it that much. I know we're harping a lot on Kojima, but this applies to not just games, but also a lot of anime in general.
Right.
Where...
Uh-oh. Now the anime fans are going to come after
us,
too.
Yeah, now they're
going
to come after me. They're going to be like, that sports guy, I hate him. He doesn't know what it's like to be a true gamer.
Because you love Madden. You're dissing Kojima. You don't like anime. Man, our readers are just going to hate you.
And you know what the crazy thing is? I love Final Fantasy. But my least favorite is, and here I'll piss off some other fans, I hate Final Fantasy VII.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. Let's not even get into that debate because we'll be here. That's a whole other podcast. On a whole different website.
See, that comes down to the swords versus guns thing. I can't understand why a guy who has a cannon for an arm has to fire about 50,000 shots in one round just to do as much damage as a bare-fisted girl. Not to say that girls aren't strong. I'm absolutely not saying that. But I wouldn't imagine a punch from one of the strongest guys in the world doing the amount of damage that a 45 could do to me.
Well, keep in mind, he is a Mr. T knockoff, and I think that lowers his bullet accuracy by a great amount. Because if you remember the A-Team, they never shot anybody.
Then how are these people getting hurt?
It's their final fantasy.
I guess.
To actually hit someone.
And, well, you know, he does have this limit break that actually fires out a damn cannonball that creates this explosive field around the thing it just hit. And it does hit. And still is not enough damage to kill it. But, you know, I'll get that. It's just a game. I'm sorry.
But anyway, let's get back to the main topic at hand.
Yes, and I guess we already moved out of voice acting. But there is one thing I want to touch on that. And that leads us to our Nintendo thing. Nintendo's not a big fan, as a company, of voice acting.
Right. Mostly because of the Mario Sunshine fiasco.
Is it really because of that? I mean, is that their one reason?
I think that it's not maybe not their only reason, but probably one of the reasons that they're kind of anti voice acting these days.
Well,
I think it's because it was not necessarily that the game was received badly, but that the voice acting wasn't received very well.
Oh, it was horrible. But that's their fault for having only one real voice actor.
Charles Martinet, woo!
A very good one at that. However, everyone who actually had real lines sucked.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, that's how it happens. But I think that another reason that Nintendo doesn't favor voice acting is because historically, their media storage is always very low.
Yes.
And voice acting can take up a lot of space.
Yes, and also, you know, it's expensive. It is an expensive feature to have in a game.
And when you do it, you got to localize it, which means you got to get all new voice actors, pay them too.
Right.
And then you just got another, you got another bill on your hands.
And I doubt Nintendo's target market in a lot of their games would care one way or the other if it had voice acting. Like, it for me, as much as I might enjoy voice acting, even though I poke fun of it, it's not going to make or break my decision on buying Twilight Princess. I love Zelda.
Right.
I always have. And I'm going to get Twilight Princess because it looks damn good.
But bad voice acting
can ruin.
Can hinder a purchase. Case in point, Star Fox Assault wasn't a great game to begin with, but that, you know, I'm inside of a fishbowl voice acting just really tore it up.
Well, then, let me ask you a question, Mr. I Love Killer 7.
Well, go ahead. Bring it.
Are you going to buy Hero?
You know what? That is an unfair question. Because you know that bad voice acting is really just really well disguised social commentary. All right? Suda-san will not fail us. He knows what he's doing.
It's all part of the game.
All part of the game, man.
He wanted to create a story that's so over the top that he wanted the voice acting to match it. You know?
I mean, all right. What's his name? Travis Touchdown, I think.
Right.
Yeah. His voice actor sucks. Yeah. But the other dudes aren't that bad. Like, the girl is whatever, and then the guy who I think gets killed in the trailer,
right.
Like, he was okay. Like, he's average enough.
Mm. He sounds like an average American anime voice actor, I guess.
Right.
That's
so,
what you mean by
that. He meets the minimum criteria to be in a game. But that Travis Touchdown, he's like, that guy needs to be shot.
Yeah.
Because he looks so cool for, like, the first half of the trailer, and then they ruin it by having him talk and say something like, "You want me to thank you? What the hell's wrong?" Like, oh, I wanted to stab him in the face.
Or the throat, just to get him to shut up.
Whichever.
But you mentioned the girl. And something I thought was kind of funny. Obviously, Suda's a big pop culture reference fan.
Right.
And
well, he only knows, like, five American names, like Travis, Carmen, and Dan, and I think that's it. Oh, and Kevin.
Right.
Let's not forget Kevin.
But the girl's name is actually Sylvia Crystal, and she's named after a French actress who is, and this made me laugh because I'm intimately familiar with the original movie.
Very intimately.
Yes. It's called Emmanuel. It is one of those Skinamax movies, and it came out in the 70s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And It's really a classic of the genre, and the actress in that was named Sylvia Christel.
So this is classic softcore porn.
Yes, the best.
The kind of porn that they show in a movie in a museum where people sip champagne and go, I understand this imagery, but the direction is crazy.
The direction was beautiful. Perfect.
Picture perfect.
Absolutely. I enjoyed every minute.
All seven.
At a time.
Oh, this is going to be a good one.
More apologies to that guy who sent us that nice email.
Never again, pal. Never again. Moving on to a different subject, though. Art in video games is really becoming a big deal these days, I think, because, we've got these, you know, great new graphics on the Xbox 360 and PS3, but I think that something that a lot of developers leave on the cutting room floor is a really solid art design, which can, believe it or not, make a game look a lot better than it would with maybe just, a few thousand more polygons or a larger frame rate.
Absolutely. Like, bear in mind how much bad animation can detract from the drama of a game. I mean, for me, I wasn't a big fan of Grand Theft Auto because I just couldn't get into the control scheme. However, the stories were actually pretty good. But when you're watching the story, and listening to the story is great. Watching the story is another thing altogether, because they were so polygonal and ugly that it was really, you're just seeing these little models waving their arms around and speaking in these professional voiceover, you know, with actually pretty good scripts. And it took you out of it and made you think, oh, it's just a game.
And it's unfortunate, because if you look at the art that's associated with the game, not necessarily that was used for the game, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, it's actually really cool animation.
Unfortunately, the art style, while it was put into the game, Grand Theft Auto is semi-exaggerated, but they still go for a semi-realistic look. Like, it's not very, the characters aren't very stylized.
Right. I would be impressed if they ever did a cel-shaded Grand Theft Auto.
I would be down for that in a second.
I don't know how well it would sell, but if they could make it look like the animation that graces the box covers,
I think
that would be pretty sweet.
I think people might actually go for that, because it would be so, because everyone knows the Grand Theft Auto box art if they know Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
So seeing that kind of thing in a game with the same, like, you know, very urban themes, I think that people would go for it. I don't think that just because something is cel-shaded means it's automatically kind of like put in a niche audience.
Right. And actually, I'm a big fan of cel-shading because it adds so much to a game in terms of the way.
I am a very huge fan, too.
You know, you can add a lot of expression. When you go for the realistic look and you're trying to add emotion, without CG, that's damn near impossible.
Right. Well, you know, my top three for this generation, all cel-shaded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So Resident
Killer
Evil
7
is in there.
Killer 7, Beautiful Joe, and Wind Waker, all cel-shaded.
True. I think my top three for this generation, though, would actually be Wind Waker, Metal Gear Solid 3, and...
Totally lacking cel-shading.
And also Resident Evil 4, which lacked very little cel-shading, but didn't require good acting.
If that game was cel-shaded, oh, that would have been so awesome.
I think that game would actually benefit from not being cel-shaded. Would have taken.
You're wrong. You're wrong. And all the forum viewers will agree with me on this one.
I just don't think it would have been very scary. A lot of people say it wasn't scary anyway. I thought it was freaking
Killer
terrifying.
Killer 7 was scary.
You thought Killer 7
Killer
was
7
scary?
Was I thought it was scary. I mean, scary enough to be called survival horror. I mean, if you... The scary thing about Resident Evil 4 wasn't necessarily its, you know, grotesque graphics, like, you know, that part where, spoiler alert, Salazar merges with his left hand or right hand
or
whatever.
That wasn't scary at all. That was kind of funny.
Really? I thought that was kind of creepy, but whatever. whatever. And I thought what was more scary was just the tension. It builds up from, you know... What were the things called? I think they're called the Novistadors, the things with the like the viral thing on their back.
Yeah,
they
couldn't
shoot.
See and were covered in armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those
things were one of the scariest. That and the regenerators.
See, the regenerators.
Scariest enemies of any game ever.
The regenerators scared the crap out of me. The Novistadors was just more of a pulse pounding action kind of thing for me.
Right.
But they didn't really scare me. Like, when I was in there, I knew what to expect. But those regenerators, with the way they were breathing and walking down, just like real slowly, and the way that it was just a perfect combination of atmosphere, design, and wet your pants.
It was creepy. It was just creepy.
And walking into a dark hallway, not knowing whether one of those was going to be in there or not, and just hearing that raspy breathing when you did find out they were there, before the music even kicked in, you just hear. Oh, God,
it's the reason why, to this day, even when I go outside, I bring flash grenades.
Were they good against the regenerators?
What they did is that they blinded them for a few seconds so you could run away.
Well, see, I never ran away from a regenerator.
Generators was just that, you know, I didn't really find the infrared scope too quickly. And so, you know, I had to run a lot. I those trusty flash grenades, man. That's what I'm telling you.
I can't imagine
best
playing
tool
the game
in the game
with that. Without the scope, I don't even know how
without
to get through.
Well, you don't. You have to run.
Wow, that's a lot of running. I mean, there's a lot of regenerators in the game, dude.
Well, luckily there is no stamina bar in Resident Evil 4.
Good point.
Otherwise, I would be screwed. Because I ran a lot.
Oh, hey, and speaking of running, one thing we should discuss is also animation. One thing Resident Evil didn't have to worry about was bad acting from the characters, because bad acting followed throughout the entire game. And it was
Of
just kind of
course.
went with the whole B movie horror story that it was
Yeah,
going
but I
on.
mean, it's almost like, it's almost so cheesy Bruce Campbell should have been in it. The cheese factor is part of the appeal.
Well, I could have sworn that was Antonio Banderas slumming.
I'm sorry?
I could have sworn that was Antonio Banderas slumming as Luis.
Oh, yes, of course. Hey, little Rob, bunch of things.
Man.
Me and my brother love that line so much we will constantly reference it in conversations.
What was the line again?
Little Rob, don't you think?
Man, Luis had all the best lines. He was the best character. They should make a game out of Luis.
Luis, Resident Evil 4, V2. Resident Evil Wii will be centered around Luis.
Oh, good. Very good. That would be great because he's the best character. I don't care how bad the game is. It would be great just to hear his voice acting again.
Absolutely. But yeah, getting back to your animation thing though, yeah, I mean, in games, one of the reasons that we see kind of, bad acting is, in their facial animation. And so because of that, it kind of looks like the character models are injected full of Botox
Right.
and really just can't properly act out, the line.
Exactly. It looks terrible, especially when the voice actor is trying to convey some sort of emotion and the
Exactly.
character itself is just flailing around. Like, particularly in Grand Theft Auto, it just totally ruins the drama of any moment. It
Exactly.
looks silly. However, I believe I saw somewhere that BioWare, the excellent creators of the Knights of the Old Republic, are doing something about that.
In last month's Game Informer, they had this spread on Mass Effect's character animation technique, and it's a I, I'm not I won't go into the specifics of it, but it's a really complex and well thought out progression, and the end result is that these characters don't look real, because obviously, even though they're using Unreal Engine 3, the characters don't look excuse me extremely realistic, but they do have a certain presence in that when they speak, they don't it doesn't look like someone's it doesn't look like a puppet. It looks like someone with their own motion.
So,
And because of that, I think Mass Effect's going to be a really big hit. Not, obviously not just because of that, but since the conversation gameplay is such a huge part of the game, I think it's really going to make a difference.
a lot of it, I think, is going to be using facial animation motion capture with the actors.
Yeah, they are not using ping pong balls to my knowledge, but they are using 3D rendering and 3D scans and all that good stuff.
That's awesome. I look forward to that because right now
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan
Ping
of
pong balls?
well, no, I love ping
Yeah.
pong balls actually. And I think
Fun fact.
the more ping pong
Fun
balls.
fact. Here's a fun fact about ping pong balls using motion capture.
What's that?
That thing from Super Mario 64 where you can kind of like mish and mash Mario's face?
Right.
That was invented by one of the guys who worked on the original Star Fox. I think his name was Giles Goddard, but don't hold me to that. It might have been a guy named Dylan Cuthbert.
Right.
I learned about it in Chris Kohler's book. Yeah, he basically was just fooling around with motion capture one day with ping pong balls on his face. And Shigeru Miyamoto, or one of the other guys who was working there, was just like, "We got to use that, man." So his job, I guess, was to make this little push and pull facial animation thing for Super Mario 64.
Brilliant.
And since then, everyone's been using ping pong balls.
Well, hell, go figure. What a
Yeah.
brilliant concept, you know? But as I
Exactly.
was going to say, I believe the more ping pong balls on a person's face, the better.
Oh yes.
I think
In
it's just.
fact, he actually later made the comment, but You know, everyone's still using this ping pong ball. They're just using more of them and in a more expensive format.
Right. Well, I would imagine they wouldn't be doing so much more ping pong balls for facial expression as they would smaller beads, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. And
yeah.
Another thing is it would really help the Metal Gear series a lot to do that because there's a lot of emotion in that. And
yes.
One of the best things I think about the Metal Gear series is the music. It really has some great, great music, and music can really help to enhance any game.
Absolutely, I definitely agree. Like, you know, how Nobuo Uematsu is so well known for his Final Fantasy theme.
Oh, yeah, many themes.
Yeah, his various Final Fantasy themes, and Yasunori Mitsuda for the Chrono Cross theme, which... As I've probably mentioned to you a few times, is what I believe to be the greatest soundtrack ever to be used in a game ever.
Right. You have mentioned that many times.
And I'll never stop.
And I'll never stop making fun of Akira.
Are you going to say Akira Toriyama?
Yes, I am going to say
How did
Akira
I know?
Toriyama. I will always make fun
because
of him.
We've had so many conversations on AIM about Akira Toriyama and whether or not he actually has any merit as an artist.
Yes, I say no.
For readers who aren't aware, Akira Toriyama was the manga artist in Dragon Ball, and which was obviously the inspiration for the anime series. And I think of him as not necessarily a great artist, you know, for his merit. But just that his style is so kind of, I think it's very charming in its simplicity.
Yeah, it's simple.
come on, man. All right. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Would you say that whoever drew Mickey Mouse is a great artist?
Would I say that Walt Disney, you mean?
Did he actually draw the actual Mickey
yeah,
Mouse?
Yeah, he drew all
or
of them,
Or did he just
too.
Come up with it?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know he was. I thought he was just like a director or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the first Mickey Mouse cartoons, I believe he was one of the animators, of course.
Okay. Well, would you consider him to be a important artist?
I would say he was an important artist, yes.
Okay. Now, considering the social impact of Dragon Ball Z, wouldn't that also make Akira Toriyama an important artist?
I would say I would make him a popular artist among the fans, yes. However, there's a strong distinction between all the characters Disney drew.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, you could say, is because he focused on animals.
Uh-huh.
And the characters that Toriyama drew. One person, you know, I forget, I don't know who said this, but it's an old adage that the best... characters are the ones that you can recognize in silhouette.
Right.
You can't do that with Toriyama.
Oh? I bet you anyone who's watched Dragon Ball Z will recognize an outline of Goku immediately.
They all look the same in silhouette.
No, they don't! No, the hairstyle is... Goku has three spikes that come out on the side, and then three big curves that come out over here, alright?
Alright.
Whereas Vegeta has two, and then another two, and then one.
Alright, and what about
in the middle?
His Dragon Ball, Dragon Quest characters. And what...
Okay,
and what about...
Eight has the bandana, with the little spikes coming out of the bottom.
Uh-huh.
The chick has the two, has the pigtails. What's his name? Yangus has the what's it called? The walnut, or whatever the hell that thing is. And, you know, and et cetera, et cetera.
There's also...
So take that, Stan's views.
Well, you also got Chrono Trigger.
Exactly, man. Come on. Those are recognizable characters.
I suppose.
But in any case, we're going off the tangent here. But there are greater artists in the video game medium. Yes, I'm aware of this, such as, you know, I think one that we actually agree on, Yoshitaka Amano.
Right, but he goes beyond just a manga artist. I mean, the guy is just
right.
a you know, he does.
He's a profound painter, and I recommend to anyone who's into graphic novels. He did this one. He collaborated with Neil Gaiman, who is the author of the excellent book American Gods, and he also wrote a lot for DC.
He works extensively with colored pencils.
Yeah, he's a big fan of watercolor. And so he did this book with Neil Gaiman, a graphic novel called he did a Sandman novel.
Right.
I think it's called The Dream Hunters. And it is, I haven't read it, but I saw the art, and it is unbelievable. So I recommend that anyone check that out. But yeah, so that basically leads back to the point that great art can make games that maybe don't have such a high polygon count, it can still make them look excellent. Even if they don't have, you know, Unreal Engine 3 or the Crysis Engine or all that great stuff.
And it also enhances the game experience. I mean, you get all the artistic elements of the game and combine them, and you really have, you can really create something phenomenal. You get the core gameplay down, you get some great music around it, you get the animation right, you get the character art right, and
something magical happens.
Yeah,
you know?
And, you know, the story ends up being secondary because all you care about is living the life of these characters and seeing their quest through. That's why they get a lot of games get away with some really kooky stuff.
Exactly.
You know, but we always forgive them because they're games, and that's our favorite medium, isn't it?
Of course.
So while I believe there's a lot of artistic merit in many games, while I still don't believe that the games themselves are art, I have to say that you know, we cannot discount everything that goes into a game.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you can't discount, you know, the great performances that go into making just entertainment films.
Right.
You know, or the cinematography, or the direction. Or even the props.
I absolutely agree.
So, anyway, this has been our podcast. Yes, we've reached the end somehow.
Finally.
And I do want to give some disclosure here.
Mm-hmm.
Carl and I have been talking about this for the last 2 weeks over.
Probably more.
And over and over.
Due to technical difficulties for a certain recording software's name, who I won't say on the air, but here's a hint: a lot of bands start here, and this is another name. Oh yeah, it's band.
Yeah, and
yeah. So something that starts with something that band's playing, and then band.
Yeah.
I wonder what it could be. Probably just with the word garage.
Right. Yeah. I'm a big fan of garage bands. And but this one, it can be kind of disappointing.
Ever since Mac OS 10.4.7, this thing has been wonky as hell. Sorry, Obi. Not everything Apple puts out is gold.
And we as Apple users can admit that.
Not biased. I own a MacBook. Stan has a MacBook Pro. You know, we got them. We love them, but seriously, Apple, fix it.
Please, now. We don't want to take 2 weeks to record 30 minutes of content.
Exactly.
Especially, you know, how much gold stuff we've lost along the way.
Oh, God. I had a joke about a Power Ranger and the size of their crotches that we lost.
Oh, there was my evil laugh or giggle or whatever it was that we had to do that I
definitely
missed.
Yeah, we lost that too. Mm-hmm. I think I took some pot shots at Evan and Obi that we lost. You know, of course, I have a number of them in my private archive, but still.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So seriously, get on that, Apple.
Fix it.
Or Steve Jobs, you'll be receiving a visit from me.
Exactly. We'll be knocking on your
door.
Creamy white door.
Exactly. On your mat door. with your intensely glossy windows.
Yes.
With oversaturated colors.
And perfectly shaped knob that is easier somehow to use than regular knobs.
Of course.
Of course.
But in any case, I think that brings us to the end.
Yes, it does. And we do, of course, thank you all for listening. And we want you to write to us at, what is it, podcast at Planet
Gamecube? Podcast at planetgamecube.com. It goes to you, me, Evan, and Obi.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you. We love to hear the things you say, even the bad ones. Well, I haven't really heard much of those.
Not much.
So those of you who hate us, please let us know. We want to hear this.
Yes.
It's good for a laugh.
All right, guys.
All right.
Sayonara.
Sayonara. And you have a good day there, Carl.
See ya.
See ya.